Hey everyone, check out this new film on Amazon Prime called Eight Remains. It's free to all Prime members. Hey, and welcome back to Extra Features Interview. Today we have CJ and Kat all the way from Australia. It's late night for me, but it's like lunch or dinner for them?
Three in the afternoon.
Yeah. So why aren't you guys having like a meal? Like shrimp on the Barbie or something? Isn't that what all Canadians think Australians do all day?
I think that's what everybody thinks Australians do. But I hate shrimp, so.
I've just been spending the day getting my kangaroo service, so I haven't had time for a barbecue.
Fair enough. So, you guys
so
are going to have.
I forget what you meant by that.
I know what she meant. I'm totally good with it.
Yeah, I know. I get it.
So look, my moose is having issues too. I get it.
Hey, you never can tell with meese, can you?
Nuh-uh. Damn meeses.
So you guys sent me a very short film, and it's only 8 minutes, called Lost Property.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there's a little bit of history behind it, and I wouldn't let you tell me anything about it ahead of time, so tell me about it now, please.
So we actually shot that. There's a pretty well-known short film festival in Australia, and I think it's elsewhere as well, called, what's it called?
Chopfest,
total blank. Chopfest, very well-known short film festival. They say that it's the largest one in the world, and it's very, I guess, sort of prestigious as far as getting accepted into it. Spoiler alert, we didn't. But what they do each year is they give you you're supposed to produce a film for the festival, so they give you every year a signature item that you have to include into the film in some capacity. Creativity is all part and parcel of it. So this year it was Candle, or in 2018 it was Candle, and we shot a film. I had written a short script just as just for fun, always try and keep writing. And when this came up, I was like, actually, we could incorporate this in. We could do it, and so then we sort of set about how do we do it, because we were up against a deadline. We only decided to start shooting in December, and the deadline was January 4th. So we got together, got the crew together, minimal crew, obviously, and we got a hotel room here in our hotel, and then we filmed for 24 hours. So we started at about 11 o'clock in the morning on one day and finished at 9 a.m. the next day.
Ouch.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It felt a bit crazy, especially at the end. I think everybody was...
We were losing it.
Now, some of us got to sleep.
Well, okay, so but wait... It was in the script. I feel like that's just really good acting.
Kat was very committed. So the scene where the character Doug gets up in the middle of the night, and Kat, her character is Janine, is sleeping. Kat's actually asleep during that entire time.
Yeah.
So and at one point we actually had to we got through the scene where he gets up and he walks out and the sound guy goes, I could hear Kat snoring. So we kind of stopped, and there were two takes where we had to go back and do it over again because Kat was snoring, and, you know, you had to give her a bit of a nudge, and she'd kind of wiggle around, and then she'd stop snoring. So, yeah, that happened a couple times.
Yeah, my bad.
And these things happen. sorry. That's a good story. Yeah. How many people were on the crew? I mean... It was you, obviously. Was there anybody else?
So the two actors, myself, my first director, Ben, assistant director Ben, and then we had a camera, this girl Zoe, do the camera, and then we had a guy named Zane who did our lighting, and then a sound guy, Clint, and then that was pretty much it.
So you're all jammed in the one hotel room?
We actually had two rooms, so we had interconnecting rooms.
Yeah.
So you'll see in a couple of the scenes when you see the back wall, you see a door on the wall.
Yeah.
That's the door into the interconnecting room. So we sort of staged everything inside the other room and then filmed in the second room.
Okay. So the briefcase had nothing to do with it. The briefcase, I thought the briefcase would have been your item. I would have guessed the briefcase.
Well, the briefcase was sort of in there in the script before we decided to incorporate the candle. You know, like, I guess that's the trick of the festival is how do you go about incorporating that item? And, you know, I guess there was a whole slew of different ones. Ironically, the one that won had nothing to do with the candle whatsoever. They just had a candle as their first shot, and then it pulled back to, and then they finished whatever their, I think it was a documentary. Yes. So you know what I mean? It's like, it's in there, but yeah. I think it's just there as a marker. Yeah. I think we probably incorporated it too much into what we were doing.
Mm. No, but hang on. Did you watch the other short that won and go, that was a piece of crap?
No, I don't know if it was a piece of... No, I didn't... I haven't seen it. I'm not going to call it a... I don't know if it was a piece
I
of...
I am, because I like yours.
Yeah, well, yeah, I don't know. I talked to a guy prior to our entry who works in the film. He's a producer in the film industry here in Australia, and he said that it's... He can't pick how... Or he can't peg how they decide their films, like what it is that they look for, because he says every single year it's... seems to be so different, so, you know, everything seems to be, yeah, he just can't pick what they do or how they decide. I mean, they have like 2 weeks to decide who the finalists are, and you're talking probably about a few thousand films yeah. that come through. So I don't know what their process is to whittle it down or what they look for, but yeah, obviously, you know, whatever it was, we didn't, so... But I appreciate that. That makes me feel a lot better.
Well, I liked it, so that was kind of good. So yep. You had a hotel room. I think that was pretty easy to get.
Yep.
So was the hotel not busy again?
We actually did choose a busy or a pretty light time in the hotel. But that day, we didn't really realize they had scheduled a scheduled power outage during the day.
In the middle of a Queensland summer.
Yeah, so it was only for 2 hours, and yeah. Obviously equipment-wise, we had everything batteried up, so it was fine. But yeah, people were sweating so badly, and we're sitting here thinking, it's the first scene of the day, everybody's sweating through their clothes already, and we have about 20 more hours of this to go. So.
And I arrived on set late. Which meant I missed my opportunity to come up to the 10th floor in the lift. So I had to take the stairs, and I was not impressed at all. I missed it by 2 minutes.
2 minutes.
Oh, so mad.
So, okay, let's go back. So whose briefcase is it, or why'd you pick that briefcase? Because I think it has a distinct look.
Whose briefcase is it? It's... I guess that's a tough one to answer without offering spoilers, I suppose.
I meant in general. Is it your briefcase, Kat's briefcase, some briefcase you found, lost and found?
It was a prop I found. So I went through a bunch of briefcases trying to figure out what I wanted it to actually look like. And I'm looking through, and then that one happened to pop up, I think, on eBay or something along those lines. Initially, it was just going to be sort of a standard business briefcase, but then – I wanted something that looked a bit more antique, had a bit more, more of a creepy vibe to it.
Mm. Just a bit more character.
Mm.
I thought maybe you stole it from Lost and Found. That was my personal theory.
I mean, we can say that.
Yeah.
But no, no.
Yeah, no, that might get you fired.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
You have a lot of music in your film. I'm shocked for such a short film. You do provide a lot of music.
Yes, so that's all, everything was done original, that's an original score that my brother and our good friend Robin, they both wrote the entire score to it themselves, so it's all original music. You know, when you look at how you're jumping through hoops for a film festival, having original music makes life so much easier, because you don't have to worry about any sort of royalties or getting people to sign off. They were the ones who also did the music for Hunger as well. So it's sort of, this is, you know, I think an ongoing collaboration with them. They haven't really let us down as yet, so.
This one I'll feel just straight to Kat. Kat, who's your new boy toy?
Aaron.
Oh, right. Doug. Where is Doug?
Where is Doug?
Did you ever find Doug?
I may have. I lost me as well, so who knows? We might have ended up in the same place.
Oh, it's an 8-minute short. They're out of luck. I got to work with something.
Yeah, look, we didn't get on. It was my plan all along. It was me.
As you can see, we're starting to use a lot of the same people for a lot of the same things. So Aaron, who played Doug, he actually was one of the zombies in Hunger as well.
Yeah, in the credits, he's noted as the pretty zombie.
Pretty zombie.
Because he's a pretty boy.
That he is.
He is a pretty boy. He is a pretty boy, yeah.
He is, yeah.
So back to you, CJ. You seem to use the phone, like when Kat's on the phone a couple of times, calling her mom, calling the front desk, seem to propel the story, to give you a lot of narrative. So you don't really have to show me, you tell me. And I think that kind of works out very well for you.
Yeah, and, you know, from a narrative point of view, when you're stuck in a single location, you kind of need something to drive that narrative, to give, you know, because when people go to a hotel room, you know, they sometimes stay in a hotel room a bit, but, you know, they go out and things like that. So we needed something, to drive that forward without having to leave the location. So it kind of gives you a bit more depth to the vicinity without having to, because filming over 24 hours trying to shoot in more than one location was going to be way too difficult. So I thought that worked pretty well. And fortunately, Kat really sold it, especially the phone conversation with her mother. We're all sitting there listening to her do it, and we're just like, shit, wow, that was amazing.
Okay, Kat, there's a good question for you now. Now I can bring it in. You do 4 costume changes in 8 minutes.
Yeah.
Is that because it was so hot or because you needed to change after your nap?
Do you know, one funny thing about this is Chris said, make sure you bring pajamas. Like, I don't really have pajamas. That's why I ended up wearing these ridiculous pink pajama bottoms. And so I just grabbed a white singlet and I put it on when I got there and I've looked down and it was already dirty. Like, I just cannot wear white without just smearing something on it. So yeah, before I'd even started shooting, I wrecked one of my costumes straight away.
We wanted to use it, you know, show the passage of time as well. It's again, a good way to push that passage of time narrative forward is to change.
Yeah, I did a lot of stuff in that 8 minutes. Like, I slept and I went for dinner and
you did.
Got angry. Yeah.
Do you know how hard it was for me to convince her to bring a dress?
I don't wear dresses.
She doesn't wear dresses at all. So I was like, do you have a dress? And yeah, that was.
I had to dig deep to get that one. Way back in the back of the closet.
So is that your plan for a future film for her to put in a dress for the whole thing? She might kill you.
Yeah, look, he likes to push it.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Sorry. No, we have a couple of other, projects that we'd love to do. Obviously, you know, with anything, funding is like the A number one for all indie filmmakers. Mm. But a couple of those will involve her wearing dresses at times. So I look forward to having that conversation at that point. Mm. She keeps telling me to talk to her agent, but... Like, technically, I am her agent, so I don't know how that's going to go for her.
So let's go back to the film again. When the film is rejected, do you still own your film? It doesn't have to go to the festival. So what do you do with it now? Other than sending it to me.
Yeah, so that was, you know, we waited with it until we found out that we didn't get in. And for those who don't know TropFest, they take 16 finalists. So to try and get to that point and make that cut is actually, I would say, extremely difficult. So as much as it was heartbreaking to not get in, you know, you kind of, when you look at those odds, you feel a bit better about it because, you know, there would have been countless others that didn't get in. As soon as, per TropFest stipulations, as soon as they cut you out, then it becomes your property again. So, yeah, we have then since then filtered it out into some film festivals, and actually started to get a little bit of traction. We're sort of in that season where you're getting those notifications. So we've been accepted into three festivals so far. And there's quite a few others that we've submitted to. So, you know, my hope is to get, I'd love to get about the same coverage that we got with Hunger, which at this stage is 15 festivals with a couple more waiting to hear from. So, you know, I'd love to see that.
I've only seen it twice, which I think is super unfair.
Oh.
Like, you should probably let me watch it more.
Probably. Mm. Should see the full cut now. It looks, you know,
oh, great. It's done another cut and not show me. Amazing. Yeah.
So we did, once we got rejected too, we recut a few things, trying to fit a film, because their stipulations are it has to be under 7 minutes. So trying to get that narrative, you know, the first cut we did was like 8 minutes, and I'm going, how do you cut a minute out of it, you know? And so doing that, you know, you sacrifice a bit of geography. That's one thing that I found you cut the first when you're trying to draw that down is you know, you see a character on one side of the room and they walk to the other side of the room. Well, now you can't show that movement. You just have to hope that the audience accepts that what's happened in that between those cuts is that the characters walked here and gone here. I guess in a small space, it kind of works a little bit better. But that was – so once we got rejected, I was able to go back in and add a bit more time to that to give us – yeah, a bit more of that geography back.
Made it make a bit more sense.
Okay.
Yeah.
At the end of the film, there's two characters that show up on screen, which I'm not going to ruin anything. I'm going to leave it as that. They do walking, removal, and promptly disappear.
Yep.
Now, is one of those you got? You?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. One of them was me, and the other one was the guy from Saskatchewan.
Oh,
Chris.
There we go.
He's we sort of have a deal because we're very close. We have a deal where he wants me to make him his Ben Affleck, I guess, is what he said. So whenever I make a film, I guess even Kevin Smith would be a better choice. Whenever we make a film, I stick him in the background somewhere.
So he was,
you know, as a little minor character.
He was in Hunger?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was the guy who got killed in the car park.
Okay. So, sorry. I'm getting here. So when you did the cut of the film, that's got to be part of the cut, had to come out of there. Because there's definitely a movement there. You didn't need that whole scene.
Yeah. So that was one area where I did cut quite a bit. And you know, when you're talking about, when you get it down to, you know, where you have, you got to try and wheedle down 6 seconds out of it to get it under 7 minutes. That's when you start, you know, you take 6 frames out of this side, 6 frames out of that side and that sort of thing. So I gave it a little bit back, but mostly what I gave back was some of the scenes or in the scene with Aaron and Kat after they come back from dinner. That was where I added a bit more from the original cut, just to establish a bit more rapport with the two of them and sort of set up what happens in the subsequent scene. So that's where I gave it the most back, I would say.
Are we going to have an extended cut with the cat snoring cut?
They always are after me, and I didn't do it with Hunger, and I should do it here, is I need to do a gag reel. So we could probably chuck some of that on the gag reel. There were a few scenes where, especially when we got late at night, where Aaron could not deliver a line without laughing.
We were absolutely delirious.
It was about 18 takes for one line.
Yeah, and it was the simplest scene. And I was just like, what is going on? Like, we just had no control over ourselves anymore.
It was pretty bad. It was.
So did all your catering for your tiny 24-hour shoot come from the hotel, or did you actually have real food?
No. We ordered pizzas.
Yeah, we ordered pizzas from off-site.
We got pizza delivered.
The room service, bless them, especially at a late hour like that, is pretty limited. Mm. They have a limited menu, as most hotels do, and it like it wasn't going to be substantial to feed everybody. So I think we ordered about 5 pizzas and had them delivered.
Okay. Do they, is hotel pizza easier to order? Like, is there a certain place at your hotel you send everybody to, or you guys pick your own place?
Well, we offer pizza through room service, so it's sort of not,
they're not big enough.
Yeah, they're not. Like, they're not super good.
About ready to eat Chris by this stage, so I was like, I want pizza, and I want a whole one, and I want it now.
Yes. There's a lot of really good restaurants. Unfortunately, there's no real great pizza. I mean, we ended up, I think, ordering Domino's because it's cheap. Mm. We had a very limited budget with this, so it was, you know, I was trying to feed everybody cheap.
Yeah.
Is the film now online or no?
Not yet. I've had some discussions with a couple of sort of online streaming groups, especially in terms of Hunger, trying to get that potentially out there, but they've sort of asked about Lost Property as well. I think I'd like to see, we have, I think about in the next month, there's 6 festivals that I'm waiting to hear notification from. I think what I'll do is I'll probably read sort of how, you know, what kind of movement we get there. And if it's, you know, if we find that there's not a lot of movement, I'll probably put it up and make it online. I'd like to get more people to see it. I don't know necessarily monetizing it is going to be a thing that, you know, if you can make a little bit of money, but you probably wouldn't make much sort of thing, be good, you know. But more importantly, I'd like people to be able to see it.
I'd like to be able to see it.
Okay.
I'll show it to you after this, okay?
Thank you.
I know you guys only sent me 8 minutes. I think I've done well. We're going to go to fun questions early tonight.
Yeah, cool. Look
and we're going to start with Kat. I'm going to ask you some Canadian terms, and I want you to tell me what they are.
Okay.
Okay, what is a toque?
A hat, a beanie.
Correct.
Yes.
What is poutine?
That's chips with cheese and gravy.
Oh, she's good.
Yeah.
What is a toonie?
Is that like a bogan?
No.
A toonie. Toonie. I don't know idea. What's a toonie?
$2 coin.
Correct.
Damn it.
What is a beaver tail?
A what?
A beaver tail.
Beaver tail. So, okay, so I guess it's not the tail of a beaver. A bake treat.
You are correct.
Yes, I was just guessing.
Similar to an elephant ear, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
And what's the one thing after visiting Canada you learned about hockey?
Oh, nothing.
That's unfortunate.
According to the people that we know from Toronto, the only thing I learned about hockey after leaving, and I'm a big hockey fan, so what I learned is that the only people that go to Toronto Maple Leafs games are coked out bankers, is what
you are 100% correct.
Because the only people that can afford tickets to it are coked out bankers.
Okay.
I wanted to go to
We tried, we, when we were there, when we were in Toronto, we tried to go see a Leafs game. I think they were playing like the Penguins as well. So it would have been a great game to go see, but it was like $200 a ticket for nosebleeds.
No, I just wanted to see somebody fight somebody.
That's the average price.
Yeah.
That's not inflated. Okay. This is going to be a two-part question. One for CJ. What is your favorite hair color? And Kat, what is your real hair color?
Do you even know the answer to that? Oh, this is a dangerous question.
Wait, can I guess his answer?
Yeah.
Wait, does it?
You know,
of course.
Red.
Yeah.
It's got to be red.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but my partner has brown hair, so I'm going to say on the record, brunette. Off the record, redheads.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Actually, I just finished a script, a feature-length screenplay called Scarlet, and it is about a girl with red hair.
Yeah.
Although that's, Yeah, I guess that's sort of relevant to the fact that her name is Scarlett.
Yeah.
But it's an extremely violent horror film, so.
I'm so excited for it. I can't even tell you.
Cool. So what's your real hellcrawler, Kat?
Look, taking a stab in the dark. What's that look like? The Rego.
Gray.
Oh.
Ouch.
I think it's like brown, like light, like just a, like blah, boring.
I've known Kat for probably 5 years, 6 years, and I don't think I've ever seen her not be blonde.
Hey, it's been pink and blue in that time.
Yeah, she's done little weird highlights and stuff, but yeah, it's always been a blonde base. Yeah.
And Kat, when's the last time you saw your real hair color?
I reckon I was probably about 9.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. It was the 90s. You had like weird, you had up streaks. Remember I was Spice Girls?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Okay, what is your...
Hey, I one time bleached my hair and tried to put red tips in it. So
oh,
there,
wow.
Yeah.
What is your favorite animal?
Mine?
Yeah. Oh, you both. You both get to answer.
I think a wolf. When we were over there, I forced Chris to take me to the zoo because I wanted to see the wolves. And they were so far away from the fence. It was like the one animal enclosure that you could get nowhere near the animal.
She didn't have to force me. I love the zoo, so that wasn't a... for me, probably a bat. We actually have bats here in Queensland, and I really quite like them. I've always wondered if I could have any... I've have been asked the same question. If you could have any animal as a miniature animal, what would you have? And that would be a rhinoceros.
Oh, my God. That would be so cute.
A pygmy rhinoceros would be so awesome.
Okay, your last muscle. Question. What is your favorite beer?
I don't drink beer. I know, that's so un-Australian.
Last time you were on this show, you drank a beer.
No, that was a cider.
Oh.
I'll drink any cider. But, yeah, there's something about beer that reminds me of when I was a kid and I would swear and my grandma would wash my mouth out with soap. Like, that's the same vibe I get when I have a mouthful of beer.
What?
It tastes the same. I don't know. No, maybe she had weird soap.
What soap did she
have? I'm sick of that.
Sure she didn't wash her mouth out with beer?
She may have done to try and turn me off it.
My favorite beer is probably, if I had to pick one label, Guinness.
Oh, there you go. Real there.
But, yeah, anything dark. Dark is good for me.
Yuck.
So, since I'm falling asleep and this is getting near the end, what do we expect next from you two?
Cool. Big things. Big things and red hair.
So we're still – we've gotten partial – and by partial, I mean a small chunk of funding for what I was hoping to do as my next project, which would be Love Thy Neighbor. That's a script that I wrote last year, and we've funneled out to screenplay contests and won 7 awards for it. So I'm treating that right now as a proof of concept short that would be translated into a larger film. As I said, I wrote a feature-length screenplay, Scarlett. I'd love to do that. That would require, again, a fair bit of funding. So I'm trying to shop that around and see if I can get either somebody to buy it or somebody to say to invest in it. It's, you know, it's one of those things. It's always such a complicated process and filled with a lot of rejection. As far as the both of us, we're actually looking at starting doing a vlog together. A lot of, you know, sort of being in film, doing indie films, and some other goofy antics sort of thing together, you know, just to sort of try and pass the time. I think
goofy antics.
Yeah, basically. Try and build the brand a little bit more as we go along so that when we come to, you know, begging for money again, that we have a bit more street cred.
Well, more power to you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll keep you posted on that.
I somehow know you will. I have to give faith in that. I apologize to you guys and to my listeners. I need to go to bed.
I didn't even know there was a midnight until the last time we did this. So I have a kid, so I'm in bed at like 9:30.
Well, usually I am, but like I said, I'm on holidays this week. So thank you for spending the afternoon with me.
Again.
And have a great night.
You as well.
Thank you. Okay. Sleep well.
I will. Bye-bye.
See you guys.
Hey, I just want to say thank you for listening to this great interview. We have more on our website at www.extrafeatures.ca. And if you enjoyed it, can you please go to iTunes and leave us an iTunes review and like us on our Facebook page? Thank you.